Hello, CEOs. So good to have you back. Delegation. Ooh, that's a sticky word for many of us. We know delegation is important, but we also know sometimes it's hard to do effectively in our own business. Maybe you've been in a situation where you tried delegating things in the past and it just didn't give the positive outcome you were looking for. And I think there's many sides to this coin. Certainly, there's an argument for having the right person in the right seat inside your business. But the other side of the coin is you can have the right person in the right seat, but you have to do your part as CEO. You have to set things up for them so they can be successful at what you're asking them to do. So today, I want to dive in a little bit into delegation. And maybe you're not there yet in your business. Maybe you are. Either way, I think there's something you can learn from this. If you're on the brink of wanting to hire someone, there's some golden nuggets in here that you can take and run with. If you've already hired and things aren't going as well as you'd like, maybe there's something in here that you can tweak and adjust and help your employees or your independent contractors do better. So I know sometimes when we delegate, I've been there, I've done it, and the task comes back maybe late, not done correctly, and we start thinking, you know what, it would have been better and faster if I had just done this myself. I wouldn't have had to spend the time explaining it and then managing them to get it done to actually make sure it was complete. But I really want you to put that myth aside and know that delegating tasks to team members who are able and ready has a ton of advantage to you as a CEO. When done correctly, delegation always wins. So what I want to do at the beginning of this episode is talk about three advantages of delegating, and then I'm going to go into some tips on how to delegate effectively. So if you think about your business and all the things that get done on a day-to-day and a week-to-week basis, you have a lot of repetitive tasks that are done in your business every day, every week, every month, whatever that cadence is. And when you're able to delegate those repetitive tasks to another team member, guess what? They get taken off your plate. And this means this frees up your time. This gives you more time freedom. And if you've heard me before, you know that I believe one of the biggest assets we have as CEOs is our time. And how we leverage that time makes a difference. So if you bring on someone in your business, you delegate something to that team member, and they do that task, instead of you spending 2 hours doing that task, you now have 2 hours to spend strategically in your business. That allows you to spend those 2 hours remaining the visionary, bringing the strategy and not getting stuck in the weeds of the actual doing, of the actual implementing. Delegating frees up your time to allow you to work on projects. Well, what kind of projects, you're going to ask? Strategic planning, marketing strategy, new content for courses or workshops. It allows you to spend more time engaging in money-making activities, revenue-generating activities, those higher-level growth tasks that only you as CEO can do in your business. You can't delegate those things, so you need to be able to make time in your week for those to happen. So time freedom, big advantage. The next one is time savings. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that there could be someone who could do what you're doing better, faster, and more efficiently than you? Yes, I know. This might come as a shock to some of you, and you're thinking, what? No one can do this better than me. This is my baby. I know this inside and out. But I truly believe that everyone has their own God-given talents. And you, as the founder of your business, have your God-given talent as the visionary. And that means your talent doesn't lie in doing hashtag all the things. There's someone else in this world who can do some of those tasks more efficiently and faster than you. When you start believing that, that's when you can start to let go and start to delegate the things that you need to do. By delegating these tasks to a team member with the right talent and the right skills, they can complete the task much faster than you may have even ever imagined. So this comes down to really hiring, quote unquote, correctly. Now, do I believe there's one way and only one way to hire? No, I don't, but that's for another discussion. But certainly there are things we can put in place to make hiring more successful for ourselves. Yes, the skills of the candidate matter, but that's not the only thing, friends. We need to know what their values are, and they need to know our values. When the candidate that we're hiring aligns with our values and has the skills we're looking for, now we have the right person in the right seat. If we hire someone who has the skills that we're looking for, but they don't align with our values, there's going to be friction. And this is probably not going to be a long-term relationship. And this means you're going to be back to the drawing board hiring for that position again. So it's really important that you do take the time to make sure you're hiring the correct candidate. But once you've got them, you have to believe that there can be time savings by letting them do certain tasks. They may be able to get started on the task earlier than you can because you've got six other things on your plate. And so by delegating, instead of having a never-ending laundry list of tasks that you're going to do at some point, because we know those laundry lists never really have an end, you can now save time by delegating those tasks to a team member who complete them more effectively and more efficiently than you. All right, the third advantage to delegation that I want to touch on today is forward progress. So imagine the situation, because I'm sure you've all been in it before. You've got this task that you want to get done. Perhaps it's to make a new lead magnet. And it sits in the back of your mind or in your project management tool. And Monday, you don't get to it. Tuesday, Wednesday, the week goes by, you don't get to it. The next week, you're going to do it on Tuesday. But something comes up, you don't get to it. Another week goes by. Next thing you know, a month has gone by and you haven't spent a single minute working on making this new lead magnet. But it's still there. It's still in your list. Your brain is still thinking about it. But no matter how hard you try, you just don't seem to be able to get the time to even start the task, let alone get it crossed off your list once and for all. So what ends up happening is that there's now a bottleneck. And if you haven't checked out my previous episode, Are You the Bottleneck in Your Business? Check it out, because there's some golden nuggets there to help you not be the bottleneck. But now your business can't move forward and complete the project or the task until this piece is done. But imagine that you could delegate this task to a team member who has the capacity, the skills, and the time to be able to do it. You're going to see progress much quicker without you having to do the work. Without delegating, if you really wanted to get to that task, maybe you're going to have to work 24/7. I don't know about you, but for me, I didn't sign up for that. All right. Hopefully, I've convinced you that delegation is a powerful tool that you can use inside your business. I do want to caution you, though. If you try to delegate in a rush or try and do it haphazardly, as I like to call drive-through delegation, you're not going to see the positive results that I just talked about. And there are a few tricks of the trade when it comes to delegation in order to see those positive benefits. So I want to walk you through now a 7-step plan for delegating so you can see the positive outcomes. The first step is knowing what to delegate. Because how do you pass something off to somebody if you don't know what they should be doing? And this is going to take a little bit of time for you to figure out, and it's going to be different for each of you. My business isn't the same as yours, and it's not the same as Susie's or Sally's. So you do have to spend a little bit of time figuring this out. But trust me, the time you spend there is going to be so worth the effort. So before we can even begin to delegate the task to someone else, we need to know what tasks we want to delegate. So here's what I suggest you do. Make a list of the recurring repetitive tasks within your business that you're currently doing. So maybe once a week you have a podcast that needs to get uploaded and edited and sent an email about and some social media posts about. Maybe once a week you have an email marketing email that you send out to your list. Maybe you need to do some scheduling and book time off in your calendar once a week. Think about those things that happen every week. Maybe you send an email to your members or your customers every week. Whatever those things are, I want you to make a list of them. And I want you to pay particular attention to the tasks on their list, on that list, which are not directly generating revenue. So you can't see a clear tie between doing that task and generating revenue. I also want you to pay attention to tasks which are taking a lot of your time. So if it's taking you a long time to do it, then that's something to pay attention to. And the third area I want to pay attention to is things you don't enjoy doing. Now, friends, I'm the first one to say that our business should bring us joy. But let's be honest, there are some times when what we're doing is not bringing us joy. And sometimes we have to do some of those things. But I really want you to analyze what things are happening, recurring, repetitive in your business, taking your time, they're not really related to revenue, and you don't really enjoy doing them. And I want you to put a star beside each of those tasks that fit those criteria. And then when you look at all the starred tasks, see if any of them could be grouped together. Could any of them be grouped together and you could have one of your current team members do them? Or perhaps you're going to hire a part-time team member to do them. Do those tasks fit together within a certain area or a certain service provider that you could clearly see? Possibly, you're going to have two different groups. So, for example, you may have tasks that a virtual assistant can do, and then you may have a lot of tasks associated with your social media and your strategy around social media. And so you may want a social media manager for those type of tasks. This is just giving you an example, but try and look and see, can I group these tasks into certain buckets that then I could delegate to someone on my team or look at hiring someone part-time? So that's how we figure out what to delegate. All right, so we've got our list. We know who we need to hire, or we know who we're going to delegate it to. Now what? Well, now we need to prepare the landscape for this new hire or our current team member's success, right? Remember that you know how to do these tasks already, and the person coming into your business does not. It's important that we give them some information about the specifics that we want them to do on how to do this task. We know the steps inside and out, but they don't, and so we need to have a way to convey that to them. If we only give them the name of the task, then they are obviously going to struggle with how to meet our expectations on how to do that task. And so we set them up for success by providing them with instructions on how to do the task and what success means, what the expectations of that task are. And there's a lot of ways you can accomplish this, but certainly I have found documenting the steps in a Google Doc simple and quite easy to work with. Can easily share that document. It can be saved in the folder. They know where to go and get it. It can easily be modified and edited as we change the way we're doing things. You can include some screenshots to clearly and visually show what you want them to do. And so in the operations world that I live in, we call this document a standard operating procedure. So for each of those tasks that you want to delegate to someone, you need to provide some sort of instructions and eventually a standard operating procedure for how to do that task. You may not have them all sorted out at the beginning, and I don't want that to stop you from moving forward and hiring. But by the same token, you need to have some sort of instructions given for the people. Maybe at the beginning you do a quick Loom video if that helps you get going, but you need something to help that new team member figure out how to do the task, and what success looks like, what your expectations are. All right, the third thing, and I think for a lot of us, this is probably the hardest point. We need to give our new team member the space to do the work that we ask them to do. And no, I'm not talking about the physical space. I'm talking about the mental space and the time. A big part of delegating is letting go and allowing that team member to take responsibility for this task. Yes, we as CEO need to be available for questions along the way, but we need to remove ourselves from the actual process of step 1, 2, and 3 and let our team members shine. After all, we hired them to do this task. We hired them because they had certain skills that we wanted. We have to let them use those skills. We give them the SOP, the set of instructions. We give them access to the tools they need, and we let them run with it. When they have questions, we're available. We review the work that the team member says is done, but we don't try to hover or micromanage them. Instead, I want you to give them space to be creative and to work their way. And if you're able to do this, you're going to see your team member many times will come up with a better way or a more efficient way of accomplishing the task than you had originally been doing. Remember, friends, you're not handing a task over to a robot. Let that person that you hired think. Okay, the fourth step in our 7-step plan for delegation is establishing checkpoints. So it's important when you bring on this new person that you make the expectations clear that nothing is going to be sent out to your members, to your customers, to your email list. Nothing will be sent out publicly at the beginning without your review. So for example, you can get them to schedule and review a test email in advance. Before your emails are set up and going out, you can review it, make sure it's right, and then have them schedule it and send it. This gives you the opportunity to approve and make any changes. So make sure that you have those checkpoints set up and that your team members know, okay, when this task is done, I leave it in draft and I let the CEO know it's time for them to review. If you're delegating something that's part of a bigger project, then ensure that you set up checkpoints early on and along the way, right? You don't want to get to the near end and then realize that the team member was on the wrong track all the way along. So it's much easier to have a few checkpoints along the way to make sure that they're staying on track. It's much easier to course correct early on in the process, and much less frustration for both them and you. The fifth step, don't fix it. Now, I know this is very tempting. I've been there, I've done it. Not proud of it, but I have. But you have to fight the urge to just jump in and fix something yourself. This attitude of, I have to do everything myself, or this thought process is not going to help us delegate successfully. Step up to the plate, be the leader, and be a manager. Explain what you hope to see, and then let your team member fix it. By giving them the opportunity to correct their own mistakes, you're going to also ensure that it will be completed properly the next time, because they're going to remember that you wanted XYZ instead of ABC. If you think about time when you're parenting, for those of you who had younger kids, it's the same thing. Your little girl, your little boy wants to help you clean the bathrooms. And if you let them clean the bathrooms and then you go around afterwards and fix it, you're not helping them learn how to do it to your level of expectation. So give them the space, let them know, this is how I want it to be done, and give them the space to be able to fix it. All right, the sixth step, encourage questions and make time to answer those questions. So remember, we're not doing drive-through delegation here, where we quickly mumble what we want them to do and we're gone. Into the dust, they can't find us, they can't ask any questions. That's not what successful delegation means. Your team member is going to need your input and correction along the way. No matter how good the person you hired is, no one's going to get it right and perfect the first time. So encourage them to ask questions. Have a safe space for them to ask questions. Have a clear path of communication so that as questions come up, they can ask you, you can take time and answer them. Correct them and fix if there's a way you're going on the wrong path. Delegation is a skill, my friends, and it requires leadership and guidance. Make sure as questions arise that you take the time to update those set of instructions, those standard operating procedures, to reflect the questions that they're asking, because it's likely that maybe that SOP is not clear enough. And this leads me to the last step of my delegation plan, which is review all SOPs regularly. So SOPs are a living document. They're something to be used, changed, edited, and tweaked as we go along. I certainly do not want you making SOPs, saving them in the Google Drive, and no one looks at them again. That's not helpful for anyone, right? That's a waste of people's time. So the process to follow is to complete the task, and then if there's changes that need to be made, go to that SOP right away and change them as you're going. As your business evolves and grows, your SOPs are going to have to change because the way you do things is going to change. Empower your team to take ownership of those SOPs for the tasks that they're responsible for, and set up a recurring task for them to review those SOPs on a regular basis. You want to review them and update them so that they are always current and staying with the way you're doing things in your business. That way, if someone's off on holidays or off on vacation, you can have someone else from your team step in, follow that SOP, and do the task. All right, I hope you can see from all of this that delegating can be a very powerful tool for a small business owner. Once you start delegating following these 7 tips I gave you today, you actually may find it a little bit addictive. Take the time up front to set your business and your team up for success when you're delegating tasks. Remember, the best way to be a leader for your team members is by being available to answer questions, but also allowing them to work independently and let their skills shine. Great. I hope this episode was helpful for you and there were some golden nuggets you were able to pull from it. If you would like, I'd love for you to hop over to the Facebook group CEO Amplify. And today I'd like to ask you, what's one task that you could delegate to a team member? And follow through on this 7-step plan as you're delegating and then let me know the results. Was that delegation more successful than it has been in the past? I'd love to know. Take care, my friends. Have a good week and we'll see you next week.